Welcome to the Grace-Based Living Podcast by New Creation Church. My name is Christy. We're so glad you're here. Parents, this is our parenting series for parents of all seasons. Whether you're a first-time parent, a parent of multiple children, a parent of young adults, or even a grandparent, we trust there's a Rhema word for you in your season of parenting. Be blessed and empowered by Pastor Matthews and his guest speakers as they share real-life experiences and practical handles on parenting through the seasons. This is episode 4 of our series on restfully preparing for primary school, and thank you for joining us again, parents. We're now moving on to part 2 of our series where we focus on the heart and the lateral segment of the cross. We want you to be firmly anchored and fully prepared for the journey ahead. Stay with us as we deep dive into the next steps that will set you up for success. It's a major transition, but you're not alone. We're right here with you. Hi, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Pastor.
In part 1 of the series, we connected upwards with our Heavenly Father to redefine success the way He sees it. On top of practical considerations like distance, ease of entry, family support for after-school care and more, we also spoke about the more important thing to do, which was to take time with Him to see His vision for the 6-year journey ahead. So what's next? What are the next steps we can take towards our vision? What's our role as parents? How do we step into this new season with our hearts full of rest? And how do we set the pace and tone for our children? Pastor Matthews.
Wow. That's a tall order there, but we shall do what the Lord directs us and guides us to do today. Just so happy that you've joined us again. We love being with you and we love to share these wonderful truths with you because this is life to us and may it also be life to you, right?
Amen.
So as we restfully prepare for children for the primary school, I love this picture of the cross that we wish to paint in your hearts so that we will not forget the centrality of Jesus and His finished work in this direction-setting journey. Without Him, we cannot. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So far, we have laid some of these foundations. Like, for example, education is not just a 6-year journey. If it includes university, it is 13 years, 16 years, 17 years, or even more. It's a very big part of our children's formative years, right? And it impacts both parent and child. It sets the foundation for life and how we ride the waves of life. We can only do this by the grace of God and not through the smarts of any one person. We want to keep our eyes on the goal, the prize, to win in life, not just ace academic. That's why we started this whole series addressing the definition of success. And we cannot build the success of a child based on the school he or she attends. We can only build a child on God. Why is this so? Because parenting is a spiritual endeavor for our children who are spirit beings and less so a physical endeavor. So allow me to speak from my heart. There's a lot on my heart on this subject at this point in time. And I love this verse in the Bible. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. According to the grace of God, says the Apostle Paul, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Lovely verse of scripture. And it's interesting that it's good to point out here that just as the church is built on the Godhead of Jesus Christ in the center, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God uses people to lay the foundations. The Lord used Paul for the purposes of the church. I love this portion here. It says, the emphasis is on the how we build. It's about the posture and most always relates to the spiritual and soul-nourishing aspects of life. What is about physical things? Important as the what, like example, the type of school, curriculum, extra courses, and all the things that go in with, as part of schooling. It is the how that determines the course of our children's lives. Parents, here's where our role has the greatest impact. It is about the how we build, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 11. It begins in our own homes. Firstly, I really believe that parents, we are under shepherds, while Jesus is the chief shepherd. I know you'd agree with this. As under shepherds, we are entrusted, appointed by our Heavenly Father with the lives of those whom He gave us, which are our children. So let us consider this verse, John 21, verse 15 to 17. So Jesus is speaking And this is the last chapter of Jonah, and he says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And then he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Wow. I love this passage of scripture. And it's interesting. It says here, we are called to feed and tend his sheep. And feeding and tending is more than just providing physical nourishment. And I'm sure you agree with that. Feed my lambs. You notice he starts with that in this order. Feed my lambs. So it's interesting that Jesus started with the young ones. How does that relate to us? I think it's important that we create a space for our children to know God's word, apply God's truths in their life, give them a taste for scripture, and to develop a reliance on the Lord. That's feeding our little lambs, our little children. And the next thing you find Jesus saying to Peter, "Tend my sheep." It says tending. And tending has very much to do with ministering to their soul health. And this speaks to us as opportunities to create a space for them to share what they're going through so that we can come alongside them and support them in their journey. That's tending them, listening to them, hearing their heart, not jumping too quickly to conclusions. That's tending the sheep. And the last thing you find here is in Jesus speaking to Peter, he says, "Feed my sheep, Peter." This is a journey that takes our children into their later years. Mm. Parents, as we have said before, it's not a six-year journey. It's not a 13-year, 17-year.
It's not just about going into primary school.
It is going into a life you're preparing your kids for. Is that right? So it's a journey, and it's about going back and intentionally engaging them with the scriptures, having conversations with them about Jesus and their faith as they get older.
That's true.
Hence the conversations at home. And that's where we need to build and strengthen the relationships, not based on our own thinking, but feeding them from the word of God. That's what feeding my sheep here is. And so that they will grow and that they'll not walk this journey alone. Amen?
Amen. Pastor, can I just interject? I love that it's feed my lambs. And then after that, tend my sheep and feed my sheep. It goes from lamb to sheep.
Wow.
So it's really about going from like when they were young, like starting them when they're young. They're never too young to know Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit that's in them is the same Holy Spirit that's in us.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, it's something I've come to realize that our children are not just tokens of our extended legacy or symbols of our procreation. I know I've got four kids. It's something that God has given us the opportunity to shepherd these kids. Amen. Yeah. I see them as little human beings that have a spirit and a soul. And they're given to us as a gift from God. I believe God was intentional when He gave our children to us. And He loves them individually. And He has a plan and purpose for each one. He's also, therefore, intentional in walking this journey with the parents to fulfill this commission.
Amen. That's so good.
And He wants us to shepherd them while He shepherds us. Mm. So let me just go to the second point here. The first one, just to recall here, is parents, we are under shepherds, just as Jesus is the chief shepherd. Amen. Point two, parents, we are also leaders in our homes. You see, our children look to us to set the pace and the tone of the journey for them. We are their role models, showing a pathway for their own future personal success. And I've seen this even in our own kids. If they can see our faith and our Christian walk, we give them the confidence that they also can succeed in their faith and in their Christian walk. Hmm. If they see Jesus and His ministry in us, they will also value and treasure Jesus and will allow Him to minister to them. Much like sheep. Sheep look to their shepherd. And it's interesting, the shepherd goes before the sheep, before the path. And that's why I find that Psalms 23 is such an inspirational psalm for me in the area of parenting. It says there, our shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He leads us in the path of righteousness. And he says, he restores my soul. This is what our chief shepherd does. And he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even if we walk through negative places, valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear evil. Why? Because he walks before us.
Yeah.
And it says, you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. I love it. Parents, as leaders, let's see ourselves and be as the sheep that's rested in green pastures beside still waters. And then lead as our heavenly shepherd leads us, with our souls and our hearts at rest in him. I love the psalm that equips us. It also brings us back to prioritizing Holy Communion. He prepared a feast for us. It prioritizes anointing our children with oil. Is that what it says there? You prepare a table before us, it says. You anoint our head with oil. And that's something that Rachel and I, my wife, has done often. We do this almost as a practice. We can. There are good rituals even in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So I think this is one of those good rituals where we gather with our kids and say, let's do communion.
Yeah. Mm.
And even if there's negativity in the household, even when there are things not so right in the home.
All the more so.
All the more so. When we come together and pray, you know, it somehow or other sets the atmosphere right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And suddenly in the praying, we end up talking.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that right? Almost as if it's a God purpose thing, right?
Yeah.
And then there's something that Rachel, my wife, does every single day before the kids go off to school. And I've seen that these are the seeds of success that has been sown. She takes the anointing oil. Before they leave the front door, she anoints them with oil and she declares good things over them. She declares that they shall be the head and not the tail. They shall understand every bit of subject matter that they are exposed to in school. They'll have a good relationship with their teachers.
Amen.
They'll have favor with their boys and their girls in their class. So important, right? And just these same things repeated over and over and over and over again before they went to school. And it's interesting that even to this day, our children do not step out of the house without being anointed by anointing oil. And then they are stepping out of the house knowing that they are stepping into success.
Nice. Amen.
And I really believe that these are some of the keys, communion, anointing oil, that puts our hearts at rest.
Mm, yes.
Not only the hearts of the parents, but it puts the hearts of the children at rest.
Yeah.
Knowing that mom and dad are behind me. More than that, there is a great God and a big God behind me.
Yes.
And this is the great and big God that my mom and dad worships and has a relationship with.
Yeah.
If they could do it, we can do it.
Yes.
If they think that this is important, we think it's important as well. Yeah. And it's interesting, you're modeling for the kids even without even trying to model. And this is the last point here I just wanted to bring across. Parents, we are builders of God's house. I didn't ask us to take mortar and brick and build a house. Building the house is a spiritual building again. As just now I said, parenting is a spiritual endeavor, right? Church is not a building. Church is a body of Christ. Church happens when two or three are gathered in His name. Is that right? Matthew 18:19. It's amazing. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. And I really feel that a couple of things here, marriage is the smallest plurality of two persons. Our home becomes a place of worship when two or three persons are gathered together.
Wow.
I think this is really powerful.
Yeah.
It is a good picture of a church for our growing children. It is seeing this church happen every day, if you can, at home. So that when Sunday comes along, it's not a chore bringing our kids to church. Because they had church every single day.
Yes, it's not about dragging them. Right?
And it doesn't feel foreign.
Yeah.
Sunday is just another extension of the church where they go out there. It's a different location, be it at the Star, MBS, or any other cinema venues. And we can give them an opportunity to meet other friends and families. But it's still church. And so what is normal for them throughout the week is extended to Sunday.
Yeah.
And as they get older, they will not say, I don't want to go to church today. Can we do this at home? But that's not what church is. Church is a gathering of the saints.
Yes.
The last time I checked, I love gathering in front of the television, but that's for a whole different purpose. I feel that we should be gathering together as human warm bodies in the church.
There is corporate anointing.
There's a corporate anointing because God comes down in the church. Isn't that, is that what He did on the day of Pentecost?
Yes.
He came down amongst a body of 120 odd believers with the tongues of fire. Is that right? It warmed their hearts.
Yes.
Not only did they warm their spirits, right? So I say, as parents, we get to build God's house for our children. How exciting is that? So the question I'll ask is, what kind of church do you want to build for them? Would it be an exciting church where every time they pray, God answers?
Wow.
I say, amen.
Amen.
That's the vision I paint with the kids all the time. You have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy will be fulfilled.
Amen.
That's the kind of church I want to see happen so that they'll be bold to ask.
Yeah.
Would it be a church where they will resort to prayer first when someone is not well or when things are not right? Or would they resort to natural means, textbook answers, even when they go to school?
Mm.
Oh, I didn't study this, but can God, who knows the subject matter, drop it into your hearts by the Spirit?
Yes.
Because He came first when you prayed to Him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or would it be a church in your home where prayer is done only before the food is served and eaten? This is the part I do not want.
Yeah.
I know we should be praying over our meals. But it should be more than that, I feel.
Yes.
Right? What do we want them to know about this God in our lives? Do they equate success with Jesus or success achieved by their own self-efforts? Success through Jesus is a constant, but success through self-effort is a variable. Is success determined by having a strong and knit family, strong biblical values? Or is it determined by the school they attended or the course of study they undertook? These are the questions I ask myself. I want our kids to be strongly embedded with the Word of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With the strong anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because this set them on a course, a trajectory of life that does not end at 6 years or 13 years or 17 years. It goes on into their own lives and as they get married.
And generations.
And generations.
Oh, yes, wow.
Their families to come.
Yes.
This is lasting impact, not short-term impact.
Yes.
I just want to put that out because it is so full in my heart. Amen.
Yeah, there's so much that you shared, Pastor, and it's all so good. Like, I just feel so full with the vision that you've painted. You know, the vision of like how we get to build God's house in our own house. We get to paint the kind of church that we want for our children. And that's so beautiful. Maybe we can get Gary and Chinfen to share about what shepherding your children was like through the major primary school transition.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Thanks. Pastor, when you were sharing from Psalm 23, it just warmed my heart. Because Psalm 23 is such a key theme in our family. Just the very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd.
Beautiful.
Oh yes, and I shall not want.
Like, we will never be in want. It's so beautiful that whatever that we need, the Lord is our shepherd and He shall provide.
Mm.
So it's important to be reminded, right, that we are first under shepherds and that Jesus is a chief shepherd.
Mm. Yes.
You know, truth be told, I think many of us lose ourselves in our own parenting journey.
That's true.
Right? It is only natural for us to take an ownership view of our parenting when we look at our children as belonging to us and that we cannot help but end up often doing things that are based on our own experience.
Yeah.
It's good taking on the responsibility, right?
Like, it is, right? But it's also based on our limited understanding.
It's true.
And the environment that we live in.
Yes.
We end up pressurizing ourselves and our children to the vision and desire that we want for our children, which is not bad. But we are pressurizing them and ourselves. If we were to look at Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth to do His Father's will and His work. So there is a model that's in heaven that He follows. Yeah. Then what about us?
So good.
Right.
In giving us our children, God is rewarding us and also entrusting us with His precious ones.
Mm.
Like how Psalms 1-7 verse 3 says, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our children are a heritage
from
the Lord. So if we are willing to accept it, it means that we are not owners of our little ones. Okay, I'm saying this, right? Not saying that it's not our responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
But we have to look at God is the one who gave us our children, right? But we are really under shepherds, stewards and ambassadors to our children.
Yes.
Right? It is about recognizing, believing, accepting, and respecting that God has indeed Himself fearfully and wonderfully created our children.
So good.
Know His own plans to prosper yes. them and not to harm them, to give them a hope and a future for His glory.
Nice.
If we as earthly fathers know what is good for them,
yes.
what about our Heavenly Father?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So, what does this mean to us? We are constantly reminding ourselves that as parents, we don't know better.
Mm.
I'll be the first to put up my hand.
Yeah, I'll be the second.
I think we do sometimes, but the actual
think,
fact
the key word is we think we know.
Yeah,
we know lah.
It's exactly.
Right.
So it's about submitting ourselves to hear God about the masterpieces that He has created. Because it's so beautiful, wonderfully yes. created, yeah. right?
Yes.
I'm not going to add extra stroke to it. And wow. to hear about the plans that He wants for them so that we can play our part to raise them in the way that they would experience the grace and the love of Daddy God.
Wow.
Mm.
In every practical sense of primary schooling, so coming back to it, right?
Yes.
This is about primary schooling,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
It means that we came to terms with the point that the choice of school is not driven by our personal interests, need or perspective of what is good or successful, what we see out there.
Mm.
The definition of choice school is not necessarily what is endorsed as the best out there, but what is most suited for our child and what doors God opens for our children to walk through.
Mm.
He gives all good things and He withholds no good things from
Amen.
Us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nice.
He's the one who holds the beginning and end of our children.
Mm.
The Alpha and the Omega.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we must be prepared to let Him do what He deems best for our children.
That is so good.
At every stage. Amen.
At every stage of their lives.
Yeah.
He will make sure our children succeed and excel. And our role is to grow them up and to draw them close to Him.
Amen.
So that they can be constantly guided by Him. That the eyes of their hearts can be opened to see what is the hope of their calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Right? Hence, our role in our children's life, this primary schooling years cannot be short-sighted. It cannot be about raising them up to get into the school of our choice.
Mm.
All about scoring well in PSLE.
Yeah.
Only to get into the next round of education, having to score again and again.
Oh, wow.
It's a never ending.
It's never ending.
No, even when you get into work, right? It's also never ending about like doing better, clocking all the goals that you need to clock.
That's so true, Christine.
And it doesn't, I mean, we've got so many statistics of how people who are really successful in the worldly sense are not happy. They're not joyful, right?
So true.
I was just reminded of what Pastor Shannon had a good chuckle.
You know?
You went through not four. But for five PSLEs.
Yeah, exactly. Six actually. My wife is also.
It requires us to examine our fundamental belief again of what success looks like in God. It's something that we talk about.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, that leading and shepherding our children, it's not about what we know best, right? It's not about like telling them, okay, this is the best school, this, like from a shepherd perspective, right? This is the best pasture. Mm. This is the best place to go. It's not that. It's about tapping in and leaning into God for that wisdom.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so good.
It's so true.
Like coming back to what Pastor shared earlier, right? Before we are even able to impart and shepherd, I think we need to first allow the Lord to shepherd us.
Yes.
Wow.
To live the abundant life that He has provided for us.
Amen, amen.
That we shall not lack. As parents, a lot would have changed from the time we are single. And we know that.
For sure.
Yeah, lack of sleep, right?
Yes.
The changes on the schedules. The heart that is always seeking to give the best to our children.
Yeah.
So it is important to know and acknowledge the season we are in practically so that we can be grounded and trust God. The reality is that there is an exponential increase of demands upon us physically, mentally, emotionally, and of course financially.
Yes.
Right? At our stage, we are no longer just taking care of ourselves, but also our children.
And also
many
our parents.
Of us.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm.
Also our parents.
Yes. Yeah. The sandwich generation,
that's
so
true.
To say.
Yes.
So if we're not careful to attend to first our spirit man and our soul, we can crumble under this pressure.
Mm.
So without realizing it, we can get caught up in the daily grind, becoming reactive and short-sighted. Mm. We may stop building on what matters to us
at the start. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
When we first got together, when we were single, when we think about the life that we want to lead. And when you have children, you start to give them all up without first realizing
it's
that.
Always children first. Right?
It's always children first.
That's right.
It's like even at meals.
Yeah.
It's not
yes.
I eat
oh,
first.
Yes.
It's always the children.
You're just eating the leftover. But that's not necessarily the best love for them though.
It's true.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Not for the longer term.
Yeah.
Indeed. Because in the longer term, they will be always be like about themselves. Thinking about themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. I should be fat first.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I should be getting this first.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not the kind of children you want to raise.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
You know, I was just reminded when my wife said that, you know, some of us used to serve actively in ministry.
Oh.
Right? With kids, we start to deprioritize church and community to slot in enrichment classes.
Oh, no.
Family time over the weekends.
You're calling my number now. You're telling my story.
I think we all went through that stage, you know, when you get practical.
I don't feel so alone now.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you. We're just sharing our own story.
Try to sleep that extra hour. So bad, you know, I do, yes.
Some of us used to be faithful tithers. But with kids, we get natural-minded and count the pennies and forgot God was the one who gave and want us to test Him. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
Amen.
But Malachi 3 says,
correct. Right? I just want to say, I'm this person you're talking about. Yeah. This counting pennies, because I've always thought that was not enough. You know, you try to work so much and you can't put food on the table and then you forget that there's a God who's a provider. And then when you come to realization of it and you trust Him, you turn to Him, everything changes.
Mm. Oh, right.
And then it's as if the Father in heaven winks at you and says, why did you do this in the first
place?
They're
just waiting for you.
Waiting for you all
waiting
this.
Waiting to embrace you with
just
all the
just waiting to embrace you.
And then the floodgates of heaven
will
just open.
And then the floodgates of heaven open exactly as you just shared just now, right?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing because that's me and I've seen this in my own life.
Mm.
Because, you know, sometimes people ask me, Pastor, how do you do it with four kids? This is it.
Yes.
Sometimes I think I needed to do it by my own strength.
Yeah.
And I failed or forgotten to turn to a God who provides. And as I said, here is God saying, when I do turn to Him, what took you so long? Why were you thinking that I couldn't provide?
Right? Yeah.
So,
that's
so good.
That's so
Gary,
awesome.
Thanks for sharing that.
You know, the other thing, right, I'm also guilty of, with children coming along, we tend to forget our spouse.
And the moms especially, actually. I mean, I'll raise my hand to say, right? Like, so many things to get done in the house. Thinking about the kids, thinking about whether they're eating right. Are they pooping?
Maternal instinct just kicks in,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a wake-up call to me when my wife turned to me and said, we don't do new exciting things anymore.
Oops.
Oh, but your wife told you about it. My husband had to stop me.
Oh.
My husband had to tell me, hey, I think you need to pull back.
Mm.
I was shocked, you know. I was like, what do you mean by pull back? I don't understand. I'm a new mom. I don't know what's going on. And it's natural that I'm all about my infant that cannot feed themselves, right?
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? So my husband told me, let's pull back. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to let someone else take care of her.
Oh, yeah. God bless your husband, man.
I know, right? I love him so much.
Such a man.
Yeah.
God has given
you. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I can understand, right? I mean, you look at your infant baby. Yes.
So helpless.
So what do we talk about? We talk about, you know, what diapers to buy, You know, we talk about... You know,
the dates at the supermarket.
Exactly. And we talk about all the logistics. We become all driven.
Yes.
Demand-driven.
Yes. And we get angry with our spouses because we are tired.
Yeah.
We are upset because we try to draw affection and respect.
From each other.
But receive nothing. So unintentionally, we start to look elsewhere for what we can't get and fall to temptations unintentionally. Some of us even get into that, trying to afford the lifestyle that we feel we need to give to our kids. Are this what we want the children to observe and partake? Because they'll model. How are we then to model to them the very things that we do not do? How can we reassure them that God will provide, that they can be secure within our marriages, that life is abundant when we become so natural? So God's promise is that He came to give us life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
He's the vine. We are the branches.
That's true.
He that stays in me and I in him, the same things, but the same brings forth much fruit.
Yes.
Yeah.
For without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
It's from John 15.
That's right.
Sometimes, I mean, me. I think that I can do something.
Maybe it's a man.
It's a man
thing,
right?
I'm telling you it is.
Right? It is, right?
The amen to that. Amen. That's a man thing.
So it makes me ponder, how is it ever possible that we can do parenting right without Him? I can't. There are lots of things I can't do. Even though my children sometimes feel proud of the father. They want to boast about the father in front of their friends. But I got to like tell them, some things Papa cannot do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have.
Have you ever shared that with them? Some things Papa cannot do.
Yeah.
Because it's such a reality check, isn't it?
Yes. But it's actually good to call out as early as possible we sometimes tell them that we are not the best parents and we don't know how to parent and we are looking to God. And if we made a mistake, we're sorry.
That's so good.
Yeah, because I think pointing them to the Lord is less pressurizing for us.
Yeah.
And and
than we're trying to do it by ourselves.
Exactly. And we're never painting that perfect picture of what God's love is like. Yes. So if we have that illusion that we are, then we've heard of how children have grown up thinking that this is the Father's love. And as a result, that they don't draw close to Daddy God. We try to call that out.
To actually say that I can't do anything or most things, right?
Yes.
It's also to point them back that, but hey, we have a big God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's something that we can do.
Yes.
You know, Papa cannot do this, right? But there's something we can do. Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Let's see how God turns things in our lives. For us.
Amen.
For me.
Yeah. Amen. Your Papa. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I think we can't reinforce enough that in order to shepherd our children well, we have to first wholeheartedly let God shepherd us.
Amen. Say amen to that, you know.
Amen.
So I just want to say I agree wholeheartedly that sometimes it's easy to be sucked in. I'm speaking to parents out there, you can be sucked into this humdrum of life and its multiple pressures. It's real. I know a dad, for example, went out, borrowed money to buy toys for their kids. When he failed to realize it's not the gifts of toys that you can put love into the heart of the child. If he just spent a little bit of time with the child, all the money he was putting into buying those gifts will pale in comparison to him being the present, the gift for that child. And you're right when you say some parents go into debt in trying to meet the needs of their children. I know this parent who, with every passing year, would top up, would go beyond the previous birthday is. If this year's birthday parties, they called in a clown, the next year's birthday party, they'll call in a magician. And it'll just continue increasing every single year. To what end?
Yeah.
And it's not cheap, right?
Yes.
But that's not what the child wants.
That's right.
They'll forget that whole episode in a day, half a day. And then after that, what goes on? What's happening the rest of their life?
Right? And what are we teaching the children about and comparison? What? Like it has to top the year before.
It has to top the year before.
Yeah, exactly.
So the holidays never get lesser. If this year is Maldives, next year would be Europe. It just goes on higher and higher.
Yeah.
But is that the way we want to go?
Yeah.
So sometimes you get sucked into this humdrum of life.
Yeah.
And to lose our perspective on God. Yes, we are called to be leaders and builders of our homes. And I know that's what I shared earlier on. But the world is constantly competing for the primal right to take over and for us to just give up and take the easy way of going in the way of the world like others. I want to encourage you, parents, this is not the way to do this. We should not learn from the world. We should learn from our Daddy God, our Father in heaven. After all, swimming upstream like salmon is difficult when it is easier to swim with the tide. I really believe that this is where, when we can't go on our own, we need the help of the church community.
Yes.
Rachel, my wife and I, can say this with all our heart, with all honesty, that church not only saved our marriage, but church also saved our parenting journey. We haven't forgotten the numerous times when we cannot. And we wanted to succumb to the pressures outside, the stronger voices of the world. Along comes a word of God from the Sunday message. It's usually a still, small voice. A word of encouragement from the Rock Kids teacher.
Yes.
Or just the presence of God's anointing during worship that melts the hardness and bitterness that we had built up over that week, perhaps to each other and perhaps to our children. Because these things tend to stay in us and sort of tarnishes our soul. But we need a soul cleansing and it comes in community. And for me and for us, church is the biggest community, the best community. And there came a point, I'm seeing this with all honesty, we simply lived from week to week, looking forward to the next Sunday to get rid of all the baggage we have built up over the week. This is what parenting is, right? It's real. Not only the pressures of the world in your workplaces, but also the parenting things that you do in your home. It's as if you're being crushed in from all sides.
Right. Yeah.
Parents, we feel you, we understand you, we know you, we walk this journey with you. But you do not walk this journey alone. You have a lifeline and His name is Jesus. And I just want to say that we will talk more about community in our next episode, but this is why church community is so vital.
Yeah.
But I cannot agree with you more that when we are well shepherded, Gary, Chinfen, Christy, we will shepherd our children well.
Yeah.
When we are well loved, we will love our spouses well. When we are well guided, we will make the best decisions for our children when it comes to their transition into primary school, because the chief shepherd always, always, always goes before us.
Amen. Yeah.
That's so good. I really love that we put out to our audience the kind of pressures that we all face as parents, because it's so real, right? How do we go about doing parenting when there's just surmounting pressures from all around, right? And how do we stay afloat? I like what Pastor said. So real, Pastor. You said that you were waiting and relying on Sundays to be our lifeline.
Yes.
Right, a lot of us are like that. And we talked earlier about how we can build church in our own home. Mm. We want to make church an everyday thing and not just a Sunday thing. And how do we start? How did you start in your own homes, Gary and Chinfen?
You mentioned about staying afloat, right, Christy? Yeah. So how we started in our own home to get through the season.
Yeah.
And also to stay afloat is really like, Pastor, what you shared about being able to plug in and prioritize. So for us, the very practical first thing that we always remind each other is that God is holding it all together for us.
So good.
That He is really holding, and that we, regardless of how we feel, despite the circumstances at that point in time, that we believe that our children are taught by the Lord and that great shall be their peace. Because there are just times when we feel so helpless, we don't know how to go about. When they share with us the pains and struggles that they're going through in school, when we hear about the things that's happening in the world and how the world is getting darker, when we hear about the fact that there's vaping today and children are selling vapes in school, the social media is out of control, they come home quoting coarse languages that they have heard their friends and then they don't know, and they come back and ask us, and they don't have access to social media yet. They can come back regurgitating some of these things and trying to clarify. We hear about, of course, marital breakdowns as well, bullying that happens. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's important for us to remind ourselves that in Him we consist. God is holding our marriage together. God is holding our family together. And that our children are first taught by the Lord. Great shall be their peace. Because we recognize that we really can't be there for them 24/7. So it's much more freeing and safer to believe that we are in His big hands.
Amen to that.
And that's the first thing for us. The second thing is really to ground them in the love and grace of God. So you asked about how we create this like church-like environment for us. I don't know whether we're doing enough, but a couple of things that we have heard and learned from parents is that at the end of the day, the Bible talks about it, right? To be able to share with them the word, help them to see the word, help them when they, upon their waking and upon their sleeping, be surrounded by the presence and the word. So for us, we take deliberate attempts to basically read with them Proverbs at bedtime. I think Pastor Prince talked about that.
Wow.
And it's really so interesting to see how with each day, there are some verses that jump out at them. You just ask them what relates to them. And when they share that with us, it gives us a glimpse into what they're going through in their daily lives as well.
Sorry, Chinfen, do you read from the Proverbs from a children's Bible or from an adult?
I was going to ask that question too.
Just piqued my curiosity when you said
this. Oh, wow. Actually, we do from the adults.
Adults.
Oh.
We do from the
and
adults.
And the children understand.
And we take time to explain to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Not all verses. So sometimes we...
So how do you choose the key verses?
Actually, we go around saying that, okay, everyone choose, as we read through the Proverbs of the day, we say, everyone call out one verse that speaks to you. So Papa, Mama will call out and we relate that to our day. Our children will call out and they share with us why they can relate to it. And if there are some words that they don't understand as we're reading through the Proverbs of the day, they will ask us what this means. I think Gary and myself, of course, when we do remember, we pray and say, God, please multiply our time and make us accurate parents. It's not the quantity, but it is the quality.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's what we do, and it has helped us a lot. It has.
Can I ask at which age did you start reading the Proverbs of the day with them? Wow.
I think we only started last year.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow, but beautiful. They can understand, and that's amazing.
I think we can actually start earlier, to be honest, with the children's Bible. Yeah. But prior to that, we were more reading stories, Bible stories, and sharing with them. But I recall that there was also a specific sermon. I think Pastor Prince shared that. Yeah. Apart from us reading Proverbs for ourselves, it's actually great to include them. And so we started practicing it.
Wow. So
and
good.
It has yielded
such
us.
A good help to parents.
And that is building church in your own home.
It is. And so I also recall that, you know, I was asking the Lord one time, how do we make it more fun and exciting? And they're just, we don't have enough time to talk with them apart from the Proverbs at night. And I got this idea about how we could read together on Saturday morning. So we started dedicating Saturday mornings. First thing in the morning, we get like more sumptuous breakfast with nice snacks. And we buy Christian storybooks. Yeah. Wow. They're not really stories about the Bible, but I think there are many resources in the bookstore that authors have been able to just share and come up with stories that relate to children. And at the end of the day, with one single verse that helps them to ponder on. So we started to do this on a Saturday basis. Every Saturday morning, we go through one story, just 1 to 2 page long. And we ask them, and they often are like life stories.
Yeah.
So I recall that there was this story in the book that talked about the boy's attitude during softball practices and how he felt really lousy about himself and he could not measure up to someone else. The story then relates to how each and every single one of us are uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made and that God leads us on a progressive journey. We get stronger, better, and that our days are brighter. So we used that to talk with them and we started sharing with them based on this story about how we've seen breakthroughs in our lives and we ask them, what are you facing in your school today? And can we then sort of, believe with you? I just want to call out that it doesn't happen this way every Saturday.
Yeah.
But not every Saturday. Yes, it's perfect.
Is there,
yes.
Yeah.
Some Thanks for Saturdays, calling that out.
Please don't have
Saturdays
the picture that,
and there are some Saturdays.
Some Saturdays, they just like, you know, they can't sit through that 15 minutes. So we said, okay, let's just go outdoors and get some sun.
Of course, you're going with the flow. Come on.
Yeah, we do go.
You're trying not to make this tedious.
No, we try. And we try to make it fun.
And fun.
Yes. So the snacks were very enticing to our kids.
And I love the one-liners you have. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can just go the whole day. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I thought to just chip in, right? It's not just the Saturdays, mornings that we have. So there are times that we go through challenges
ourselves, right?
Like I say, Papa is not the superhero that I can do everything. So there are challenges, especially sometimes, most of the time I would say that it's related to work, right? We bring our children through the challenges in our lives as well.
Yeah.
Especially like at work, we face some headwinds.
So you tell them about it.
We tell them about it. Yeah. We don't go into the minute details.
They wouldn't understand.
They wouldn't understand, right? Yeah. And then of course...
But they know dad's going through some pressure.
Yes.
So they understand. And then we'll come together, we'll pray, we'll break bread,
Yeah.
Right, and then we'll talk about it. But we also will share with them, right, when the breakthrough comes.
Yes.
The successes.
The successes. Yes. So that they will know that in all things, right, in all ways, right, all seasons, right, the success comes not because of us, because they have seen that how challenged we felt.
Yes. Right?
But God saw us through.
Yeah.
We gave thanks to God.
I give you an example. Gary does sales. And when he has missed sales, then we will share with the children that, hey, Papa made a mistake today and he missed the sales. And can we then pray? And they really did. And that we, on the same day, same night, we saw the turnaround and then we shared with them. Or there was another time when I really felt really down at work and I came home and I said, children, I'm feeling down from work. Today didn't go too well. And then I didn't ask for prayer. And when I just sat down, I said, I'm so happy to be back home with you because you bring comfort to me.
So sweet.
Then I remember one of them just came over, put her hands on me and say, there you go, we thank you that Mama shall be restored and that it will get better.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's helping them to understand that we are not perfect. We're doing this life, but together as a family and together with the grace of God, as we press in together, God makes everything good.
So, I love that you make it so real. Your own walk with God, you make it so real and so apparent to your children, right? You involve them in your own walk with God, right? You share with them the challenges that you face and you bring them in on this journey. I think it's not possible if you don't have a close relationship with God.
Yes.
Like, you know that there's a God that is in your life, supporting you and really just bringing you through the waves of life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, and your children see that. And they catch it.
Yeah.
Because I find that that's so important. Children always love the affirmations and the praises from the parents. What we are trying to share with them is that we can fail, but there's always a God who loves us.
Yes.
And will bring us through.
Yes.
It is so for their lives as well.
Yeah.
So, especially in primary schooling, right? They will meet their own challenges and they will fail.
Yes.
And we want them to know that Papa, Mama will always love you. And God loves you and your God will see you through.
Man.
Yes. Yeah. And when you are so transparent with your own journey and your walk with God, your children see a God who does not fail.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Their children will see a God that does not fail, and they will come to know this God for themselves. They will come to want this God for themselves. Yeah. And that's beautiful. Yeah. Right. That's
so
what parents
the
want.
The person that you depend on becomes the person they depend
on.
Yes.
Yes,
your
right.
successes give way to their successes.
That's right.
They see, they model after that, right?
Yes, and that's our saving grace, right? And I think then the last one that I just want to make sure that we call out is that to stay afloat, it is important to connect with each other. We really can't do this alone. So Gary and myself, I think not a day goes by without us texting and updating each other around what goes on from school and what we hear from the children. Yeah. And we spend a lot of time talking to each other about how we feel and being able to share and prioritize from a timing point of view and from sharing about the practical challenges in helping them through the transition. Mm. So we can talk a lot more about that in the next episode.
Sure. Yeah, about the community that you're building, right? Within your own family and all. I just want to call out that this is such a good point that you brought up. Like, it's about the marriage, right? Like, about building your marriage, like really strengthening what is between the two of you, because you are the smallest plurality of the church that Pastor mentioned. And with that, right, you help to strengthen each other in the faith. You walk together in the faith, and wow, your children will be so blessed when your marriage is blessed.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Both of you touched on two very key important points. Number one, building your own walk with the Lord. I think that's very important. And you shared that effectively. And you can see our parents do that as well. And how do you do this? How does it look like spending time in the Word? We know this, reading and meditating the Word of God, letting the water of God's Word wash you, for example. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray at all times, always, as the Apostle Paul says. Pray for one another if you can. You know, that's so good. Worshipping the Lord. Can I just land on this thing? It says here, building our walk with the Lord. I just want to say that sometimes we've overlooked this. We don't see this. It's serving in church. Can I say that? Serving in church has also blessed me to such a tremendous extent. But Pastor, you're the pastor. You need to go to church. I am so glad that I have a role in church. So at the end of the day, this is so powerful. Sometimes when we have failures in the parenting journey, you had a crossword with your wife, for example. You go to church because you need to go to church to serve. And you think you're serving God.
But God is serving you.
But God is serving you.
Yes.
That's
very
good.
Good. You are there and you open yourself up because, I have to be here. And then God uses the opportunity and He postures your heart. The Spirit of God touches you, you know, more to receive.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get a word, an answer to that. You repent of the things that you could have done, should have done, would have done, didn't do. And you make it right because that's what happens when you go to church. Building our walk with God is so important. We have different things that we can do, reading the Bible, worshiping. But I just want to encourage people, parents especially, don't stop serving. And I just also say that our children can't see God right now, but you know what? They can see God in us. They can see our walk with the Lord. They can see when we worship the Lord. You take out the guitar, Gary, and you play. They can see when you give thanks for His grace.
Yeah.
They can see you in prayer, spending time in the Word. Hence, at home, I always pick up my Bible, not my handphone, when I'm reading the Scriptures.
So that they can see visibly.
And as you can see, my Bible is falling apart. As Charles Spurgeon said, if a Bible is falling apart, it belongs to someone who is not
falling. Yes.
So I just want to say that that's something that's so good. They can see when you're planted in a godly community and have a personal relationship. And they're watching and imitating us if we are good God-shaped models so that they can be that as well. So I just want to say to all the parents out there, we are all works in progress.
Yeah.
But when we put God first in our lives and trust in Him, regardless of the situation, our children will too. When we turn to God in prayer and supplication, they will too.
Amen.
When our dependence is always on God who never fails and always supplies, they will too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Pastor, can I just interject with one testimony or sharing that I heard? So it was amazing that this mom friend shared with me that they encountered a situation at home with the daughter. The daughter encountered one version of that particular issue on hand, but she went to bed and she woke up hearing the inner voice of God telling her that the daughter lied. So she confronted the daughter and said that, did you tell me the truth? Because I believe that I heard from the Lord that there is more details to it that you did not share with me.
Right.
And the daughter broke down and cried.
Wow.
And so what happened from there is that the daughter subsequently started telling the younger children, don't mess with mom. God talks to her. You better tell her everything there is and it's okay. It's better to do that. So I just wanted to call out, as you were talking about the fact that, you know, when we have our work with the Lord, and of course, not every time it happens this way, but when we have our Lord with the Lord, it manifests it itself in many different ways. Yes. He goes ahead of us and He helps.
I think that makes parents want to strengthen their walk with God. Really? Like, He will tell you things that your children may not tell you.
It's interesting because, you know, I like for them to get this idea. Wow, Dad, Mom has employed a spy called the Holy Spirit. They know everything that is going on there. We cannot do these things without God seeing. God becomes real.
Yes.
Their holy veneration for their parents, which is what parents want to have and receive. Yeah. And they understand that this is what the faith walk is. God becomes real, right?
Yes.
The second thing is, number one, we should build our walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Parents, this is something that we want to encourage you strongly with. You know, and we've shared some of the things because, you know what, it impacts your children. Number two, can I just say this to parents out there? Again, I'm in the ministry of ministering to families as well, to marriages. Mm-hmm. Do you know that the recent stat in Singapore, most divorces occur between the 5 and 10 years of marriage? This is a very sad statistic. That would put those marriages in the place of perhaps having their first child. Usually within 2 to 4 years of their marriage, because that's how it is in Singapore. Many times we wait 2 to 4 years before we have our child. Mm. So you're having your first child, because 5 to 10 years, right? The child would be of maybe, if you're 10 years of marriage, 6 years old. And that's the time when couples need each other the most, and also when young children need their parents the most during their formative years, which is largely 5 to 7 years of their lives, their first 5 to 7 years. Moreover, couples get married later in life. That's another Singapore statistic. They will put them at a later age when they have their children, a time in their lives that they need to also support their spouses. And the marriages are under attack, whether we acknowledge it or not. And if marriages are attacked, so will parenting be. There's nothing like building parenting on the foundation of a good and godly marriage. So parents, this is the best legacy you can leave behind for your children. Children feel loved when their parents love each other. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This reminds me of a verse in Malachi 2, for example. It says in Malachi 2, verses 15 to 16, "But did He not make them having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one?" He's talking about marriage here, God. "He seeks godly offspring." Not we seek. God seeks godly offspring. And that's why He puts in the whole idea of marriage. That's why He says, "Did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us?" Why not? "Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." Mm. "For the Lord God of Israel says He hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." I don't know who I'm speaking this to, but I feel I'm speaking to someone here today. Someone who's in a situation where there's bad vibes in the marriage relationship. Someone who's going through this issue and it's affecting them badly and causing the parenting, also the children are sensing it. The atmosphere in the house has become sour. And God is saying, come back to a place where you can minister love, encouragement to your spouse. Build the marriage up. This is vitally important. Again, if you're a single parent, you're not alone in this journey. The Lord first loves you. And is walking with you every step of the way.
Amen.
I just want to encourage the single parents out there. But if you are in a place right now and your marriage is not the way or the place it should be, I want to encourage you today, right here, right now, let's come back to focusing on the marriage. Building yourself up in God is good, but for the sake of parenting, a great marriage yields great parenting. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Children model after the household they belong to. The unity between a husband and wife as parents is the best gift you can give to your children, not gifts and money. Husbands, take your role as the head of the house. Don't stay silent on the matters of the house, on finances, on parenting. I'm talking to the men out there, Gary. When you do not do this, there's a leadership vacuum.
That's right.
And your wives, you know what? Being the wives that they are, practical, loving, they want to see the family go strong. They will step in and take the lead. Yes. I've seen this so many times in marriage counseling. When the men don't take that role seriously, the women take in. And if they don't do this with ease. They do this with frustration. They do this not joyfully, restfully, but sometimes with angst.
Yeah.
Because they were not meant to take mm-hmm. that role. It's a yep. man role. And when that doesn't happen in the marriage, it tends to affect the atmosphere in the house.
Mm.
Wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Because your Lord is your first love. He's your heavenly bridegroom. Your earthly husbands will fail. I'm sure they would fail now and then. But know this, that your Lord will never fail. And He's the head of your house. I just want to say again quickly here, intentionally spend couple times. It's because some people ask me, Pastor, how do you do this? Put your kids to sleep early and spend couple times either in front of the telly, watching a movie, going downstairs to the corner coffee shop, having a kopi with your wife, with your husband, doing things that they want to do. Take up a habit, take up an activity, take up something and you do this together.
Mm.
Play board games at home when the kids are asleep. There's so many things you can do, is do couple times together. And when you do couple times together and your kids see it, you're telling your kids, they are not the center of your universe, your spouse is. So you can boldly say to your kids, you know what? I love your mom, your dad, really all that much more better. Without them, you would never be in this life together with me. Rachel and I have said this to the kids many times. If it wasn't for us, you would just be a figment of our thought. You would have not been something tangible. For you to be strong and healthy, let mommy and daddy do the things we need to do. We say this especially when we want to go on holidays. And so we go for holidays intentionally excluding the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know parents today are coming to say, Pastor, you cannot, the poor thing, the children. How? I said, leave them behind. This is where your community of support will help you greatly. Don't worry, your kids will still survive when they don't see mommy and daddy for a few days. In fact, when you are refreshed as parents, they'll be refreshed.
Amen.
Amen.
Another thing I want to put here is deliberately don't tear each other down because of your frustration. I'm talking to moms and dads here. And not see each other as the cause of the issue. Many times when things go wrong, they tend to point fingers at each other and they look at the lesser and the negatives.
Mm.
And that's not going to encourage the marriage process. It's going to tear it down. If there's anyone you want to blame, blame the enemy, not your God-given spouse.
Wow.
And lastly, I just want to say, invest in your marriage because this results in good parenting. Reduces their issues, especially discipline, caring and sharing, sibling rivalry, anger and tantrums, self-esteem issues, identity issues. The list goes on.
Mm.
A good marriage will address these issues in the children. Trust me in this. Every book out there talks about the same thing. I've read enough books to know this. I'm talking about parenting books. And every time they'll say, every time there's a good marriage, it yields to good parenting. And you find the issues with your children are lesser and lesser because they are in an atmosphere of love, is an atmosphere of peace. An atmosphere is so vitally important in a home. And kids feed off that atmosphere, be it negative or positive. Positive atmosphere gives off positive vibes and does great things to the kids. Wow. Okay, said my piece.
That's so good. Pastor, we really shared so much today and I think our listeners would have walked away with just so many nuggets of wisdom. It's just so much that they probably have to listen to this podcast again and again. But in closing, you know, if there's just one key takeaway we would leave with them, what would that be?
I would say lead as Jesus leads. Shepherd as He shepherds you. Parent as you are being parented by your God. And to be parented, you need to spend time with your daddy God. To be parented, you need to know what causes His heart to beat.
Yeah.
His love. And I promise you this, He loves your spouse. He gave you your spouse.
Amen.
So if you want to love like He loves, love what He loves. He loves your children. He gave you your children. And as we sit at His feet and allow ourselves to be parented, we tap onto this wisdom that is beyond us. This know-how that is beyond us. No books on this planet can write about it. No amount of parenting books you read can even come close to it. You receive His grace. It comes directly from a holy God. We receive His unending supply and rest to parent our children. And really believe this is the priority for great parenting. Make God and His Word our priority. I love it. Bible says in Luke 10:42, Mary chose the good part to sit at Jesus' feet and it'll not be taken away from her. Matthew 6:33 says, Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 1:17 says, He is before all things, and in Him, all things, marriage, parenting, your life holds together. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen, for today's sharing. Parents, I'm sure you agree with me that we are really so blessed we get to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone ahead of us. Today, our focus is on the heart of the cross, and we are at the heart of the cross. It is for us that Jesus went to the cross. So let us be about Him as well. Right, let us be anchored in the love of Christ, and that is how we will stay afloat in the waves of life. Jesus is our chief shepherd, and with Him, we will not lack.
Amen.
It's really not about going to God to tap on His supply for our children, but it's first about being a child of God ourselves and receiving our own portion from Him. For ourselves, for our marriage, for our lives, and then our children's lives. This comes out of the overflow that He gives. So this week, parents, can we encourage you to deep dive with the Lord and meditate on Psalm 23. See how our Heavenly Father shepherds us. May He open our eyes to see His wisdom and grace. Take time out with your spouse and reconnect as well. Go on a date, just the two of you. Investing in your marriage is the foundation of shepherding and leading your family. We trust the Lord that He will take care of your children as you and your spouse take this much-needed time out from your parental duties. Take time with the Lord, take time with your spouse. We know it will be a blessed time of reconnecting and rebuilding. Do join us again for our next episode where Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen will explore the lateral arm of the cross and share about community. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Grace-Based Living Podcast by New Creation Church. We hope you've enjoyed being a part of our conversation as we deep dived into what grace-based parenting looks like in your season. Do check out the other episodes of our podcast for more of such content. Till the next time, be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.